Hi, welcome back. You're with Elizabeth on the Fringe, and for this episode is a very special episode. We're going to be getting into the spiritual, so get your tinfoil hats out. I have a very special guest. This guy I've known for well over a decade. It's about 14 years.
15 years.
15? Yeah. So this is Roger Smith.
Great.
So
Ali, you gotta change my name. What's Iris? You can't
okay. He's my friend for over a decade. And yes, we're
people,
learning
people
new things.
Up all the time. I mean, yeah. Mom still call me the wrong thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We learn new things every day.
True.
So, Roger, introduce yourself. What do you do? And are there any socials you want people to...
to follow?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to plug myself on your thing. But you can... I'm on Instagram, but I'm not going to plug myself on your thing. So, happy hunting! Alright, so I'm a graphic artist by trade. I have worked in print for over a decade. I do freelance graphic work. And I'm also a machine technician. So I'm a jack of all trades.
Okay.
And I am also, not by profession, a bit of a storyteller. I guess I inherited that from my pops. Same kind of full of it too. So since this is the tinfoil episode, I can understand why I'm here. So Halloween is around the corner.
Yep.
So we're going to be telling. Alright, so where do I start? Am I psychic? No. Don't think so. Every Jamaican have a dopey story. Right? I don't profess to be any king of the supernatural or I'm not a ghost hunter. Well, I was. I was recently. For my own podcast, which I will not plug on Trisha's show.
I may put a link in the description if you so wish.
That is up to Elizabeth. So, let's see. Where did it start? I think the first real haunted house I lived in was probably somewhere in Meadowbrook. And I don't know where your fans are from. So, I'm going to pretend that not everybody is from my neck of the woods. So, Meadowbrook is in Jamaica, which is in Kingston City. And as I've said before, every Jamaican has a dopey story. A dopey is a ghost, a spirit, a entity, jinn, whatever you want to call it. So, this place in Meadowbrook, I may have been what? I may have been 10 years old. And I went to get a glass of water. And on my way to the kitchen, I noticed that there was somebody in the living room who shouldn't be there. So I take a double take, of course, and it disappears. Anyway, that was the beginning of weirder things to come. And I didn't pay attention to you tell your mom you see a phantom in the kitchen, she's going to tell you that is
your imagination.
Yeah. Scrooge's, what? Scrooge is what? Bad potatoes? Now, oddly enough, my paternal grandmother, who most people will tell you is probably crazy, but in retrospect, I don't really think she was. She fancied herself clairvoyant. She would see spirits like, I would be looking at you, right? And I mean, I remember going over to her place and she would hear somebody calling at the gate and she would go out and be giving the person directions and I would come out and I'd be like, who you talking to? And then she loses her mind because then she realizes that it's spirit you're talking to. So I'm going to assume that that's probably where I get it from. So after that first instance, I guess it just got progressively weirder. I mean, my sister, who is a far more interesting character than myself, will probably...
Hi, Roger's sister.
Will probably back up a lot of my claims, but she could be crazy too. But after that first place, I think that's the first time I ever saw anything. I haven't seen anything after that.
Mm-hmm.
Not until a couple years later, we're living in this refurbished, it's like a villa kind of setup up in Stonehill, which is in another part of that's St. Andrew, Kingston, St. Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
This place had a bit, had more history. No, as I said, this place was a kind of hot, kind of like a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner changed it into apartments, which it did some renovations and mm-hmm. turned it into apartments. And let me tell you this, that place, if you don't believe in Duppy, you believe in Duppy if you live up there.
Mm.
The first night there, it was me, my grandmom, my sister, two friends. Two friends from high school as well. So, not to repeat myself, but it was my grandmom, me, my sister, two friends from high school. I had just graduated from high school. So, the place is a mess. They're spending the weekend. The next day, this is day one in this apartment. My grandmother asks us if we slept well. So all the guys are like, yeah, you know, we slept okay. Because she says, oh, you know, because I saw one of you guys coming upstairs. And I was wondering how I slept. So nobody remembers going up the stairs. So she says, no, what are you guys? And I'm like, no, we're sound asleep. We're really tired because we're lifting all the furniture and boxes and whatnot.
Right.
So she says, no, one of you guys you were on the stairs in a red shirt. So the guys are like, we didn't pack any red shirts. So my grandmother's like, okay, maybe she was seeing things. So as we're moving around boxes and unpacking, we hear a crash upstairs. So everybody runs upstairs to look, and we had a phone book on a nightstand by the window. And the phone book was in the opposite end of the master bedroom. So mom now thinks somebody has come through the window. So my friends and I, we searched the house because we're thinking there's somebody in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody there. I mean, it's a relatively safe place. So people aren't really going to be breaking into your house or anything like that. So that was strange.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody at this point is thinking Duppy. That's not happening. Not yet. Anyway. So I would say maybe the fourth night, the guys are gone back home. I am in my room downstairs. Mom is upstairs. My sister is in the room above mine. Grandmother has her own room. I'm asleep. And I wake up. I couldn't tell you what time it was, but it was maybe in the wee hours of the morning. Couldn't tell you for sure. Anywhere between 2 and 3 a.m. I wake up. And I wake up and I'm sleeping on my side. And I wrap my sheets like a burrito. So it's just like my face. And Stonehill, if you don't know it, is cold all the time.
It is.
So you have comforters. So I am wrapped up tight.
Yeah.
So I don't know what woke me up, but I open my eyes. and I just see a figure walking by my bed. Now, I can't see all of the figure because my face is on the pillow and I'm holding my head straight. So I just seen like a little bit below, alright, maybe a little bit above the elbow, the fingers, and probably the knee. And I can tell you now vividly what that looked like. It was like a pinstripe shirt, maybe like gray pants. Looked like a pair of pants my great grandfather would wear. You know those gray,
yeah,
gray church pants?
Yes.
Slacks?
Yes, I was about to say, yeah, slacks.
Now, you would say, but Roger, you should be petrified. You shouldn't be thinking that this is a dopey.
Right.
In your house, you should be thinking this is a man. Mm-hmm. And you need to do something about this because there's an intruder,
mm-hmm,
in your home. Except that looking at it, it was very out of place. It looked strange. It didn't look like it belonged there. Even now, sometimes I wonder, you know, if I was asleep. But I know I wasn't asleep because I remember waking up.
Mm.
And I remember looking at this thing for a long time till I'm like very conscious. Because you have a gap in between your when you're awake and you're asleep. And you see all kind of stupidness.
True. Right? Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I think I was beyond that point. I was looking at this long enough for it to register as not a dream, as hold on, is this a person, as okay, this is not a person, and then into what the hell is happening.
Mm.
So now it slowly walks over to my line of vision, and I am looking at this thing's hand and thigh and knee, and it looks like almost like film, the quality of the image.
Mm-hmm.
I realize now that whereas I thought I was seeing colors, not colors, it was almost sepia.
Oh, okay.
Looking.
Right. It's almost like an imprint of something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was solid. Sorry, but it wasn't solid.
Mm.
It was solid, but it wasn't solid. And the digits were like Christmas lights. They'd be blinking in and out.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be...
Is it like atoms?
No, man. Actually... It literally looked like somebody turning on up. Right. And the image is just pulsating.
Okay. So it's like dimming.
Yeah. The opacity
okay.
would be changing.
Right. Okay.
Going into states of transparency. And then solid, and then transparent, right. And then solid. Oh, okay. And I swear there were points where I was seeing through the hand,
mm-hmm,
and I could see what was inside. Like, I don't know, matter, maybe like bone, I don't know. I'm looking at this thing, and at this point, I'm now terrified.
Mm.
Because what I'm seeing is not logical.
Right.
And then the hand positions itself on the knee as if to bend over. To look into my face, and I'm like, I'm not having this.
Mm.
So I close my eyes.
Oh boy.
So I close my eyes because I want this now to deregister, because
right,
this is not real.
Right.
So I close my eyes, I open my eyes, and it's gone. So the next morning, of course, just like when I was 10, you were dreaming. It's ridiculous. What would you say that? Oh, my grandmother may have been less skeptical than mom, because my grandmother now was saying to me, well, I did see that guy in the red shirt and he didn't belong in that house, right? If it was a real person, I mean, thieves going to break into your house and take nothing is a little weird.
Yes.
And there are no windows open, there are no doors open. It was just strange.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was a ghost story to tell, I suppose, until 2 nights later, when my dopey friend learns a new trick. Again, I'm sleeping,
mm,
and I wake up to the cover pulled off my face.
Hmm.
So I'm like, okay, that's weird. So I pull the cover back over. I don't think that somebody's pulling the covers off. I'm thinking I wake up with no cover on half my body. Maybe not half, but just to the shoulder. And I don't sleep like that.
Right.
So that's weird. Okay. Mm. Not.
Yeah. Like maybe when you're moving. In
yeah. You know. Yeah. Unlikely. But again, I am not thinking dopey. That's not my default.
Right.
So I pull the cover up.
How old are you at this point?
Young. Sorry, man. Young. I was like, what, maybe 16 or 17.
Okay.
Yes, just graduated from high school.
Mm.
And so anyway, I pull the cover back up. And the cover comes off. No, I'm awake.
Mm.
And the cover pulls down to my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm awake and I'm like, okay, something has pulled the cover off of me. I open my eyes and sit up and I look around and there's nothing there. The door is not open. The door is closed. There's nothing in the room. I don't see any figures this time. It's not a Conjuring movie where the entity is standing there looking at you.
Right.
There is nothing there.
Mm.
So I go back to sleep. So I'm like, okay, this is bizarre. So now I'm not quite asleep because I'm not going back to sleep because that's weird. I am thinking.
Right.
And as so as I'm now thinking about what's happening, I lie back down. I'm not going back to sleep. I pull the cover up to where I normally have it and I'm hiding under the sheet, you know.
Right.
Because Roger not programmed like that.
No.
Alright. I'm a very defiant individual.
Yes, you are.
So I put the cover over my head and the cover pulls off again, and this time I grab the cover to pull it back up and it's not budging. It's like somebody at the edge of the bed is either holding the sheet or stepping on the sheet, and I tugged at it 3 times and it would not budge. So I threw the covers off and said, you could have it. Now I'm not giving up my room. I am not screaming, running up and down. I go back to sleep.
Brave man.
Yeah, man. I go back to sleep. I slept in that room for 3 more years. Because that thing wouldn't... I wouldn't let that thing have the satisfaction.
Right.
And it wouldn't be the first time or the last time that not only do I see that thing, but there are people in the neighborhood would see it. Let me see. I left there... As I said, 3 years later, I left there. And I made friends with a young lady in the next block above. Because the rooms were in clusters.
Mm.
If you know how Jamaican hotel villas are set up, right. They put them in little blocks
right. Beside
each other. So you'll have one single occupancy, double occupancy, triple occupancy, etc. And they put them in blocks like that.
Yeah.
So I made friends with a young lady in the third block.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to me, this is after I moved. She calls me up and we're talking. And she says to me, Roger, you're going to think that I'm crazy, but I just have to ask you. And I says, okay. And she says, please don't think I'm crazy, you know. I'm like, okay. She says to me, I think my apartment might be haunted. So I says, do tell. She describes an older gentleman in a pair of maybe gray slacks, pinstripe shirt, who would often walk through the walls of her room in one side and out the other. And she said she just wanted to talk to somebody about it and ask if anybody had seen anything like that. I'd never told her about my experience in that place.
Right.
And we exchanged numbers the day that I moved out.
Wow.
So. I guess maybe I felt a little better.
Right,
because
it was
corroborating. Because the whole time I thought I was probably losing my mind. Maybe it's night terrors.
Right.
But when she told me that she had seen it too,
yeah.
I felt a little better. But there's a lot of that happening in that house. Weird things, and mom would not talk about it. Even now, she won't talk about it. But my grandmother would, sometimes my grandmother would talk about it after that.
Mm.
But mom wouldn't talk about it. But mom would later go on to live in her own haunted house. But I suppose that's another story. Yeah. For another day.
So I wanted to know, there was that place that you lived up in the hills.
Oh, Golden Spring.
Right. It was interesting because whenever we visited, especially at night, I noticed that there was this weird sort of darkness surrounding the property. Meaning if you're driving there and you have on your the lights, you know, the headlights from the car couldn't really penetrate that particular brand of darkness.
Yeah, other persons have told me about that place, but that's Stony Hill as well.
Right.
Stony Hill is like Jamaican Amityville, you know.
Apparently.
A lot of houses in Stony Hill are very haunted. Anybody you talk to who has lived in Stony Hill, past the square, maybe a little before, once you come off Long Lane and you pass the old hotel, they'll tell you that. Everybody has a haunted whole story up there. But that place was haunted as well. That place was crazy. I didn't really see entities in that place like the hotel.
Right.
But my roommate would tell me that she would see things in there. She would see figures and think that it was me.
Mm.
And call to find out that I wasn't home
mm.
or something. And she left, actually, because of it.
Mm.
And I got another roommate who had similar episodes. I guess the only time that I actually saw something up there, you told me about that night when you were trying to leave and you couldn't because of the dark, weird roadway.
Mm.
My other roommate woke me up one Sunday morning and I panicked. Tell me that she couldn't live there anymore because she can't deal with the weird stuff and the circle and these creepy things that's happening. I'm like, calm down, what's wrong with you? And she says, Roger, you need to come in here and look at this. And she starts to tell me everything at once. There are things moving around in here, glasses falling off the shelves, things getting thrown around. And I stayed in there by myself for 3 months between roommates and saw nothing. I slept in the dark, in nothing but my drawers,
mm-hmm.
me and the cat, and I saw nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's there telling me about how there's things moving around in here and I can't do this. And you need to look in here. And she opens the door and says, look. I mean, I don't say anything other than you living in there, though. She says, look at the ceiling. Okay, so I look up at the ceiling. And the ceiling is covered in tiny handprints.
Hmm.
Now, I bet you're probably thinking to yourself, why, old Roger, you're a crazy storytelling liar. Well, you can think that if you want, but I'll tell you what I saw.
Right, yeah.
All right? And I believe what I say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she did it.
Mm-hmm.
But that ceiling was covered in tiny handprints.
Mm.
Not adult size. Tiny handprints.
Right.
So unless she took a kid and put dirt on the kid's hands and let them press all over the ceiling, and that takes dedication that I would admire. I don't know how, and I can't explain that. And I had enough at that point. I think I left. Lie, there was a night, though, you know. But, alright, I cannot say that this was supernatural, but I guess I'll add it. There was a night that I woke up to my doorknob jiggling.
Mm.
And my room, the master bedroom, it was set up perfect for me because I had my own entrance to the house. It was a big house.
Right.
Big old house. Remember it?
Mm-hmm.
And my bedroom, you never had to go into the main house.
Mm-hmm.
You open the door to the right and my bedroom is there. It had a long closet space, like mm-hmm. a corridor, and then a bathroom. So
mm-hmm.
I never had to go into the main house or anything.
Okay.
And there's a gate, a grill
mm-hmm.
to come in.
Right.
And then veranda, which I guess would be a common area, and then you have the main house, and then, as I said, my place outside.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm sleeping and the doorknob is just moving enough to wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up and I'm looking at it and the doorknob is jiggling like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, somebody is trying to break into the place.
Right.
So I pull up this old police baton that I inherited from my grandfather. I don't know how he got it, and don't ask me any questions. But that man had a policeman's baton.
Yeah.
Old, solid wood,
mm-hmm.
Englishman's baton.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So I have that in my hand. And I'm like, all right, somebody's trying to break in here. But I'm awake now and I'm looking at it. So I have some windows by the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I peep through the cracks in the windows to see if I see anybody. There's nobody there. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. Oh, I can't see the grill. The grill isn't open. The grill isn't cut. So unless I walk through the grill,
mm.
there ain't no way there's anybody there.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, this is strange. So of course, I'll hold the baton, open the door, there's nobody there. Why I'm saying it's probably not dopey is because the roommate in the main house could have easily opened their door and they were messing with me. So that's a possibility.
Right.
But when I did open that door, their door was closed, the lights was off, there was nobody there.
Right. And I mean the time frame.
Yeah. Was that looking strange?
Right.
But in retrospect, that place was probably haunted. That place was probably... I think whatever was in that place was a little bit more menacing than even my friend in the hotel.
Mm.
You know, whereas my friend in the hotel would be walking through the thing in this hotel, in this Stony Hill house was mischievous.
Mm.
It did a lot of that,
shady
yeah,
stuff.
That sort of playing with you.
Right. Like it wanted your attention.
Yeah, it wanted your attention and it was driving my roommate crazy. So, of course, I asked people in the square, the town square, about the place. And this says, you live in that place? So I said, yeah, I live in that place. It's like, I don't know how you live in there now because the people who used to live in there before. Anyway, let's just say without creating any mischief on Elizabeth's show, the less you know, the better for you. Some nefarious things happened in that house.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. Okay, that's what's going on. So, he could actually be haunted by something pretty awful.
Mm.
But most old Stony Hill houses are, though, by
mm-hmm.
something. And I have friends that will tell you their Stony Hill childhood home was upside down.
Mm.
And I think, was that the last haunted house I lived in now? Then there was Shortwood. But that's another story.
Mm.
That's another story. Entirely.
Yeah. So I was just remembering in college when, but you know this story.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream
mm-hmm.
of, but basically what I should start off with was I did the thing, one of these Jamaican things that they say you're not supposed to do. I did it. I placed my bed against my window. So my bed frame was basically right up against the wall where my bedroom window is. And right outside my bedroom window is the backyard. I can hear the gasps already.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm rearranging my room. I don't care about any superstitious
mm-hmm.
XYZ. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to my bed one night and I am dreaming that my eyes are open and I'm lying on my back and I'm seeing a hand coming through my window above my head. And the fingers are very elongated and very spidery and brambly looking and kind of gnarly. And I'm sinking down into my bed as I'm watching this hand come through my window. And then all of a sudden the scene changes and I am back at our old house where, you know, we moved a few years ago. And you never got to see that house. I think it got torn down. But I was curious as to how I got there, and the person who's in front of me is a girl who looks like she's from, I guess, colonial times. She's wearing, well, she's a black girl. She oddly looks like me in the face. Her head is wrapped. She has on, you know, the colonial dress. And she's looking at me. And she seems to want me to recognize her. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you looking like me is not helping. So I'm not sure if it's an ancestor or just some random person trying to freak me out. So all of a sudden she starts to grin at me in this really weird menacing way with really sharp teeth.
This is this house that you're in now?
Well, I had a dream here, but somehow I was transported to the old house. So it's almost like she was trying to show me that she knew where I used to live or something. And when she realized I wasn't really like acknowledging whatever it was she wanted me to acknowledge, I started kind of backing up slowly and she starts grinning at me with sharp teeth. And that's when I wake up. Also, last detail, apparently she has a digit missing on one of her forefingers. I think it's on the left hand, I think. And I wake up and, you know, I did not dream about her again for a long time. Like 2 years go by, I don't have this dream. I'm thinking I'm nuts. I don't see anything around the house. I don't see anything in the backyard. All I know is that I feel a dread about the backyard at night. And I think it was 2 years later that I told you the story. And as I told you the story, you were saying, but that's weird, because when I told you, I didn't give you details, because you ended up telling me that you saw a girl around the house singing and doing things and watching TV with us.
I did see that, actually.
Yeah.
I did. I thought I was imagining it. I came in.
Wait, you brought it up before I brought it up to you.
Yeah, I did. I told her and then you told me about the dream you were having. With the girl. And they, it was a David movie night.
Yes.
I came over and there are people all over the place. And I saw somebody sitting on the ground. I thought it was one of the guests.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't always know everybody. And I say good night and everybody hailing. And there's a person sitting on the ground. And a wave. And the fingers were funny on one hand. And I was like, that's bizarre. And I look around again and then I look and then it's gone. So I thought it was maybe a trick of the light. But I did see it. And when you told me about that, I was like, well, I did see that in your house. And now that you say it, the person sitting there, I could tell was a girl in a dress, a long dress. And now that you, after you mentioned it to me, it started to seem more and more out of place. You know? So, and funny you should talk about the spider-fingered man. I did live at a place, and I guess I didn't count this into my storytelling. I was maybe 10, 9 or 10. And I did see something similar. I got up and I saw somebody sticking their hand through the window. And they were reaching through the window, grappling almost.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, not that it was a ghost, I remember thinking that it was somebody trying to come in through the window. And now that I remember, the windows were closed. So how those fingers would be reaching in through closed louver windows? Anyway, I told my mom, and mom woke up, because I wake everybody up, and they come and they see the windows closed, there's nobody outside, and they go back to sleep. You know, he didn't say anything, there's nobody here, there's no evidence of anybody here.
Right.
I think my grandfather went outside and looked around, there's no one there. But again, I wouldn't say ghost, because I thought it was somebody. Mom told me that I was dreaming. So when I started to say, when she says, did they open the window and stick the hand through? I said, no. The window was closed.
Oh.
And the fingers were grabbing onto the bars, burglar bars on the windows.
Right.
And I'm like, the windows were closed. So mom is like, no, you're being ridiculous. Because you're trying to tell me that this hand was coming through the closed windows and grabbing onto the bars.
Yeah.
No, she said, go back to bed and stop bothering with your foolishness. When you told me that story, I actually remember that. That then would actually be probably the first time that I would have seen something like that. I could have been dreaming. And I'm going to say no. But I think I was a little too awake.
Right.
Because I remember waking up, looking at it, jumping on my bed, and going to get mom.
Right.
That's strange.
And it's weird because I know I didn't tell you. I made sure not to mention certain details. But the fact that you picked up on certain things, especially details that I hadn't mentioned, and it was 2 years since I'd had that dream. I'd almost forgotten about her completely. And you were saying that she was like, we were standing in the kitchen, like we were taking, I guess, an intermission. And you were saying, like, she was standing in front of you. You're seeing more of a silhouette than detail.
Yeah, I haven't seen any details.
And she held up her hand to you.
And the fingers were missing.
Right. And when I heard that, I nearly lost my cool at that point. So I just thought, okay, I'm clearly not nuts. I've done an MRI, by the way.
We could both be nuts, you know.
We could both be nuts, seeing the same thing.
Yeah, it's not insane.
But... Well, I've done an MRI. My brain is normal as far as I know. So, I don't know. But even here in this house, like, I remember, like, recently when we did our little expedition into the supernatural.
Oh, yes.
And the interesting part is, after that session, and you can get into the details of what you found on the audio, but... After that session, and this has never happened before and hasn't happened since, I wish I'd taken pictures, but I was just too shook and disgusted. Around between 3 and 4 a.m., I woke up and I noticed there was a little gathering of flies on the wall over my bed. And that had never happened before. So I remember that there's this, you know, there's been talk about witching owl. So I thought, no, that's not what's happening. And these flies were huge. They seemed heavy, like they couldn't be bothered to fly away when I tried to swat at them. So I literally ended up killing about 5 or 6 of them on the wall, just by getting a napkin and just squashing them on the wall. It was absolutely disgusting. But yeah, that hasn't happened since. But yeah, so you had found some audio.
Yeah, that
stuff.
Episode was weird because I was actually gathering some before COVID turned the world upside down. I was actually doing some research as a hobby on ghost stories, doppy stories. So you would always be talking about your supernatural experiences, and I am a open-minded individual and I like a good story, so I listen to you, is what I'm saying. Anybody who is willing to tell me a good story, because I like that.
Right.
So I says, okay, we watch a lot of these American and now European ghost hunters running up and down all over the place with this equipment.
Yes.
And doing all this fancy crap. So I says, okay, let's try our hat at that.
Right.
So I got myself a spirit box rigged up. And I did do a recording.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went home and listened to it, there are things I heard in it that I didn't hear when I was talking to you.
Right.
Like, you would often ask it its name, or to say your name, or to say something, and we heard nothing, just static, because you know how the spirit box thing works.
Right.
It's going through channels.
Right.
And what we didn't hear is how many times it actually said your name.
Right.
And I gave it to David to edit. David sat there and David heard it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I remember the look on his face. Because David is not a supernatural, doppy believing man.
No.
At all.
No.
David is the straight man to my... Yeah, you believe no. Right? David is a straight man to my, you know,
mm-hmm.
eccentric or eccentricities. But he went through it, and I remember him sitting on there playing it on the loop and going, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What was that like for you?
It was odd. It was unexpected. Yeah, it was.
But it's calling your relative's name.
Yeah. And I was surprised.
You think you'd go to my defense, like, how dare you, Duppy?
I mean, what you going to fight that Duppy? You just have to go, okay, okay, boss.
You win by default.
You win by, yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess you could go, you know, I'm tangible and you're not. No.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well, I mean, when I watch a lot of these, like, haunting reality shows, it's sort of a, when I see like families going through all of this supernatural hubbub and it's crazy, and you know, maybe the family is getting hurt physically or something, you know, especially if there's a father or just any parent or adult involved, they get very defiant and start challenging and start, you know, cursing and all these things, and sometimes it dies down for a while but eventually it comes back, or sometimes it's 10 times worse. So I guess it depends on where you live. But I don't think I have that much activity here. I mean, I will say I have had an experience recently where I smell my grandmother in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when to know that, you know, David corroborated it, I was ecstatic and freaked out. Because then I'm like, that means I'm not crazy. So what does that mean?
Well, David and myself did go to our bookstore. We bought so many books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never went there ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
David has not been back there since, nor will he want to go with me after the weird experience that we had in that place. But we didn't go there looking for that.
Right.
But I remember picking up, what was the last book we picked up? It was a Shakespeare or Edgar Allan Poe or some sort of thing we were picking up, man. And then this figure just walks through the bookshelves. David didn't see it, you know.
No, right. I saw somebody else, but apparently it was actual person.
But I remember him looking funny, like he's like, you know, I feel weird in Roger, and I am looking like, oh well, you're lucky that you never saw what I saw. And we did pack our books and say, hey, what, let us go back down to the first floor,
mm-hmm.
cash this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying ever since, David, let us go back there. And he says, I say thee nay, but I guess I agree.
the day will come.
Yeah.
And they're closing early now, so there ain't been no 6 o'clock adventures in that place. I know, I don't play those games.
Yes, it's pandemic time.
Yeah, it's pandemic time. We can get arrested if we're on the road past 8 o'clock, and that's a whole nother horror story.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Beatings for everyone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope everybody enjoyed.
I'm not crazy.
No. Let us hope.
Yeah, let's hope.
Hope that we're not crazy. But, I mean, feel free to speculate, disagree, do your own research, anything. Man. You know, and I may put things in the description box below.
Yeah.
As long as people are all in agreement.
Yeah, man, I'm in agreement. I just not going to do it on your thing.
Okay. So that's
if you
fine.
Feel like you want to drop the description.
Yes.
You have my blessing.
Okay.
And you can follow whoever right. is listening.
Yes. He does comics to people.
I do.
It's funny. Yes. And if you're easily offended, I also recommend it. Just say. So with that, so we'll be back for another episode at some point. We'll probably have a part two maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If the listeners are okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.